Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
It's not about agreeing with generally. It's about all around that song good part.
You said it, pal. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. All right. Somebody tweeted me a couple days back. O'Brien, mm-hmm. Something to get angry about.
Well, let's hear it.
We always love this. IMDb's rating on movies.
Okay.
Animal House, 7.6.
Probably fall somewhere between like a 6 point, yeah, a 6 and an 8.
It's always 7.3, yeah. Like your favorite comedy of all times.
So reduced to a 7.2, 7.5.
7.3.
So it's like, then nothing matters. If it's
I don't
all
know
7.6.
What's it take to get into the nines? Like for these guys,
let's look up Blazing Saddles real quick. I'm sure it's a 7.8 or somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe less.
Could
maybe
be 7.3. I don't know.
Got to be in the sevens.
I dislike their ratings quite a bit.
Well, one would say it kind of
7.8.
All right, it flies in the face of ratings because. These are two of the best comedies of all time.
Universally loved.
What's it going to take to crack an 8?
Mm-hmm.
You have everything at kind of a C+ right. With your rating system, and it's like, I think The Hammer may be a 7.8 even, or 7.3 or whatever.
It's as good as a Blazing Saddles.
It's all just kind of 7, somewhere everything seems like a 7, oh, 7.3.
Oh,
there you go.
You're in the sweet 7s.
I'm in the sweet 7s. All right. I just wrote that down because I know it would drive you nuts. It drives me nuts.
I hate it.
And I don't
Look
know
up
why.
Airplane. I wonder if Airplane's any higher. Because I'm trying to think of like.
I'd rather have someone give
agrees.
Something a 1 or 0 than just go, everything's a C. This, everything's a 7. That's all right. Look up Airplane.
7.8.
All right. Well, okay.
Point
What's
made.
The point?
Is there. Can one do a. Okay. I'm angry. I want to thank LifeLock and LegalZoom and TrueCar for this half of the show. We love that about them. You go to LifeLock.com, you go to LegalZoom.com, you go to TrueCar.com. All right. So somebody tweeted me and said, hey, your buddy Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal were talking about points and gambling and shaving and fixing games and whatever. And Bill had an idea about the long snapper, getting the long snapper, paying off that long snapper.
Okay.
And so I thought I'd share that with you guys. Now, I think the argument was I should have got credit for that idea since I brought it up to him
multiple times. Yeah.
But go ahead, Max Panna.
Before you go, I'd be remiss if we didn't give our top five candidates of people who are going to be involved in the first legalized gambling scandal. Number one for me is the long snapper. They make the least amount of money. All they need to do is fuck up 2 snaps and swing a game, and they could have 100 friends put on, you know, 1500 each, and just everybody swear each other to secrecy. The long snapper is the most dangerous right now, right?
Oh, I hadn't thought about this. This is really good, though. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you on behalf of Adam.
All right. In 2000, and let's see. I guess I was on, I was on not quite 2 years ago on Bill's show.
You described this on his show?
Two of his shows.
That's pretty ballsy, man.
Well, let's, it's HBO show. I don't remember any of this stuff exactly when.
A lot of the beats are the same. They only have to mess up a couple plays. He doesn't make that much money. That's pretty precise.
Yes, I have said.
Wow.
You do one. First thing, you do one punt that goes over his head and into the end zone.
That's a huge. That's a game swinger.
And then in the fourth or whatever, you just mess up one field goal. They wouldn't pull you out. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. They
what
don't
are they
have
gonna
anybody
do?
Else.
What's the option at that point?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I agree with you.
So punters and long snappers. We're two of the big winners. I actually know who some of these punters are. I've seen them so many times. It made me think maybe we have a chance for your sports movie snapper that we've been
Oh, yeah.
Ideating. What's that word? Iterating?
That's a race from Alaska to
Nome.
Anchorage to Nome. That's for lesbians who ride dogs.
They don't ride the dog.
Yeah, they think they do.
They're not lesbians.
Google
they're men.
Google the dog riding lesbian.
Can you do the snapper pitch really quick?
All right. The guy who's getting paid the league minimum is the long snapper on the team. Super Bowl comes around. This guy can't be bought, but they abduct his daughter.
It's a little like Taken.
It's like right. It's like Taken, and all the mob wants is one high punt snap that skips into the end zone, one bad field goal, and one bad extra point to give the daughter back. But this guy's got a little something called grit and intestinal fortitude, and at the end uses his amazing snapping ability to snap it up into the third aisle that stands there and hit the kingpin, the mafia kingpin.
Take him out with the ball. It's a great idea, and I have a sequel idea for you. Mm. Instead of the mafia in this one, the villain is the Russians, and we call it Red Snapper.
Red Snapper.
Way ahead of his time with all this Russia talk. And then the BS report, I think, was his podcast from 2010. I'll let you hear that one.
Skill. So Snapper. You're the best long. Yeah, you have to be the best.
Yeah,
because that's a requirement for any action.
I play Rush Blitzer.
Rush Blitzer.
I play Rush Blitzer, one of the best long snappers the NFL's ever seen, until tragedy strikes, which is during a preseason game.
All right. Yeah. So anyway. Talk a lot about.
Wow.
I feel like she got a little credit there.
I feel like Gio can confirm this, but I remember this from the radio days. That came up. That whole thing came about once or twice in the radio days.
Yeah. I've always thought in the world of shaving points and in the world of never being able to prove it, mm-hmm. and in a world where you can't get LeBron James to shave points. He has a legacy and he's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Good luck paying him off.
This guy's getting the league minimum, mm-hmm. and that's it. It's one bad snap.
He's from making $150K or whatever it is after he pays his agent, after he pays taxes. He's not clearing that much.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if any of this will happen. Or I wonder if it has happened. Like, who knows?
Wouldn't be surprised.
There's been bad snaps in big key moments.
After the Tim Donaghy scandal, remember the referee in the NBA that was getting paid and making very questionable calls? Mm-hmm. That's as inside as it gets, man. You're paying off a referee. Yeah. In playoff games. That's crazy. Right. And that guy kind of got brushed under the rug a little bit, too. I was like, oh, nothing to see here. I'm moving along. It's like, that's a pretty major scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gio says, yeah, we did talk about it in the radio days. I'm sure of it. I only got so much rain. All right. Yes. I just, I saw a tweet, and I agree with the tweet.
But remember
I should have
got credit for
that.
Remember the referee scandal?
Sure.
In the NBA? That's insane. It was just like, oh, nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's do. Let me knock out a spot here. We'll do LifeLock. Mm-hmm. If you're concerned your devices have been hacked, look for these signs. Does it restart on its own? Running slower than normal? How about programs or apps you don't recognize or post to social media you didn't create? Well, today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't see or fix on your own. If you have a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it, but you will not have a problem because you got LifeLock. 2018, folks, we got to get LifeLock. We're online. Our info's out there. We're taking care of business. We're doing all the shopping. We're saving tons of time, but we're vulnerable. So let's get some LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com today and enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
All right. Shall we take a break and do a little news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Oh, we touched on the high school shooting a little bit earlier in the show, and Reuters reports that the teenage boy who has been charged with killing 8 students and 2 teachers during a shooting spree at a Houston area high school on Friday was motivated by his advances being spurned by one of the victims, according to her mother. This girl, Shayna Fisher, she was 16 years old, killed in the shooting, rejected the advances of the 17-year-old suspect, according to her mother. She added that Fisher shut down the shooter and embarrassed him in class, saying, quote, "A week later, he opens fire on everyone he didn't like. Shanna was the first one." In this theory, if this theory proves to be true, it will be the second shooting at a school in recent months to be inspired by rejection. Back in March, a 17-year-old at a high school in Maryland killed a female student who recently broke up with him. And I can't remember which shooter this pertained to, and I don't remember, care about any of their names. But one of them said that he was part of a group called Incel. Does that word sound familiar? Involuntarily celibate.
Oh.
Incel.
Oh,
is like
I
a
see.
Subgroup
yeah.
of
like
can't score.
Yeah, sperm dudes who nobody wants to have sex with.
I did the commencement address about, I think it was 86, 87.
I know things look bleak now.
Yeah. They always ask me to speak at their events.
Sure.
It's the only corporate gigs I get anymore. All right. Few things. So is it safe to say that the guys that are killing for killing's sake don't kill themselves as much as the guys that are killing because they have some sort of motive? Like, hey, this chick turned me away and now I want revenge or something. Because the last two guys didn't kill themselves, which is weird. One guy was killing for killing's sake. He didn't kill himself. This guy didn't. It's always odd when they don't kill themselves.
This guy's still alive?
Just FYI, I heard on the way over here, this guy, according to all the evidence they had every intention of killing himself and then didn't.
He's still alive?
He's still alive, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All signs pointed to he was going to commit suicide, but he didn't.
And then, Jesus Christ, guy tries to go out. I couldn't figure this guy out. It was like, it was the star of the freshman football team. He played a game where he made X amount of tackles and was credited on defense, blah, blah, blah. He's also in the dance club. It's like a weird, like, that seemed weird. And then if he was the star of the freshman, or he played this great game in freshman football, we're like, how come he didn't go on and play football? And then where'd he go over to dance? And then... did he go into the classroom and shoot this woman? Like
this particular case?
Yes. Like, does he get the people he hates all together if they're all in the same class?
So far, what I know is this was in the school. Obviously, there was eight kids in a closet, hiding in a closet. He shot 3 of them. Jesus. And it looks like he was hunting down people that he felt had wronged him.
Yeah, these are selective killings.
Other part about the news is always great. It's like, he had an AR-15 type assault rifle. And then the next day, it's like, no, he didn't.
It's like, okay. Why do people get hung up on who gives a shit what kind of gun he had?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Well, because there's an agenda. You want to get rid of the AR-15 type assault rifles, which is fine, but you have to wait till somebody uses one. You can't just go, he had a shotgun. Oh, we're just going to make it into this. There's so many different agendas going on simultaneously.
Even that doesn't make sense to me, because if you have an agenda, isn't someone going into a school and killing people enough to feed your agenda? You know what I mean? Like, why the granular detail of what type of weapon he used? Who gives a fuck?
Well, there's a sort of an obsession on this one gun.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And also, there's a kind of a thing where you just get it out. So, all you have to do, the way we're wired now, is you just on the first wave say that he had an AR-15 type weapon, and then a year later you ask us what kind of gun did he use, and no one's going to say shotgun and a pistol. We're going
to
go, I heard it was an AR.
Yeah.
I heard it was an AR-15. So it's smart. Just go ahead and do that, and then like if we could do it, if there was some thing where you went like. Well, Adam is going to debate Chris Maxipata on how to measure one's cock, and then we went, fine, we'll see who wins the debate. And there was a technique where at the beginning of the debate, I could just yell liar as loud as I could, and then later go, oh, I was wrong, I take that back.
Right.
But if everyone would just remember a year from now, I saw that debate, the one guy was a liar.
Yeah, he's been discredited.
Why wouldn't I do it? If this was my goal, if I was anti AR-15 and I work for the New York Times, why wouldn't I just go? He's got an AR-15. So your credibility never really gets brought into question. You can retract things, okay? Right. Like, correct, upon further, okay. How did you get onto the AR-15 in the first place? Like, if it didn't exist, but those were the initial reports, and now it's not. But I agree, killing is killing.
Well, and for me, not the question, but just the thought is, if we look back in history and we talk about this time where this is kind of a thing, keeps coming up in the news. And somebody asks, well, what did they do about it? Like, well, they didn't do anything. Well, they didn't do anything. They didn't try anything. They didn't try any new legislation. They didn't, do trial and error just to see what worked. Because so far we're so gridlocked on, if we don't know it's going to work 100%, then why do anything? But we're not doing anything. Who knows what the right answer is? But there's no
movement. I know what the right answer is. Mm. There's no legislation that's going to work. There's stuff that can't hurt. And we should do it anyway, but nothing's going to work. There's 300 million guns, and every one of these parents has one flopping around the house. The legislation part is a weird angle, because it's like saying, what is legislation going to do for the inner city? And the answer is just nothing, really nothing, until families and kids and parents and communities and blah, blah, blah. Like, first things first. They're guns. There's going to be guns. There's guns everywhere. There's guns everywhere now. There's as many guns as there are people. So the legislation part is, we should do something. Never going to work. Not going to make an impact. Most all of these, I don't know what percentage of them involve an AR-15, way less than 5%. So if you just go back and you look at the numbers, getting caught up on an AR-15 is stupid, because they represent 3.6% of the
jingling keys in the wrong.
Yes, they're just jingling keys. But, and I don't like guns. I'm not a gun guy. But there's few things. The problem is the guns are out of the holster. They're out of the barn. Like, we can't unring that gun barrel. We need a few things. A couple things. When one designs a school, one needs to design a school from this day forth with security in mind. When you talk to guys who do this for a living, they don't like a lot of points of entry, and they don't like lots of places. They'll lay it out how they want it laid out. So first things first, whether it's the crazed kid who didn't get to go to the prom or Al-Qaeda, Let's just lay our schools out. Mm-hmm. I don't like big long lines like at the airport with take your shoes off. I'm just saying, like, physically, there's a way. As a guy I was talking to, expert on this on Take a Knee, said, look, school fires used to be a thing, and then they're not a thing anymore because they started working in that into.
Yeah, they start building strategically.
They built it with that in mind. Mm-hmm. We don't have exits, and we don't have alarms, and we don't have stuff. So first thing is, just if you got to. Blank sheet of paper, let's start laying it out in a way that makes sense that way, because you're never going to be able to work it out with one guard or two guards and 3,000 kids and 15 points of entry. So that's number one. Number two, parents, 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 and more parents. Number three, obviously we have to keep an eye out on, we have to profile, as much as nobody wants to profile, but some of these kids who may tend to snap or go off the deep end need to be profiled. As far as the security, the faster somebody can return fire, the more whatever their plan is going to be interrupted. Mm-hmm. So if they come in with 200 rounds of ammunition and three guns, if everyone did nothing, then they would shoot as many people as they could shoot with 250 rounds of ammunition and three guns. If somebody starts returning fire after three kids, and I know the LA Times disagrees vehemently with this math, but if they fired on one kid and one security guard turned the corner and engaged them, that's the minute that the firing stops on the kids. Now, good luck to the security guard, but the security guard, they must engage somebody. So they're taking a gun and they're pointing it at kids, and kids are in closets and they're blockading themselves in classrooms, and they're hiding and under desks and whatnot. And these guys are hunting for these kids. If somebody turns the corner and starts firing at them, they really have no choice but to turn and engage the person that's firing at them. Otherwise, they're just going to get killed in the middle of hunting these people. So the engagement part is pretty paramount to me. And my feeling is a couple, you know, more than one person who are security guards, fine. My feeling with the teachers or the shop teachers or the gym teachers or what have you, I'm perfectly fine with a program that says if you are ex-military or ex-law enforcement and you have a training or certificate or a background in this and you would like to be very well vetted and you like to attend multiple classes for certification or whatever, you may have a lockbox in your desk with a pistol in it where you know the code or what some version of sensible planning so that you know that Mrs. Sontag and Mrs. Smith and Mrs. So-and-so, but Mr. Gage, the metal shop teacher, was a Marine and he does have a gun over on that end of the school, and they would have to go undergo training. That, and again, it wouldn't be me showing up with a pillowcase full of Glocks and going, who wants a gun? I wouldn't be handing them to teachers who didn't feel comfortable with it or didn't have a background or a history in it.
You get a gun.
Everybody.
Yes. There's a, I did not grow up hunting or shooting. I mean, the gun in my hand or whatever it is. And if you said to me, would you like to be this? I would say, I don't really have any skill in that. I did a man show bit once with the Hawthorne SWAT team. But there are many guys who grew up hunting with their dads and shooting or going to pistol range, part of their life, upbringing. Part of the upbringing, part of the world, who were in the military, who did undergo training and so on and so forth. And then I would find you guys and I would check all your records to make sure there wasn't a lot of substance abuse and spousal abuse and stuff. And then I would say, we are going through a rigorous training. I don't know. All right. Hold on.
Offer a bonus.
Hold the phone. After 9/11, we put sky marshals on planes. Right. We didn't tell the bad guys what planes they were on. They were on who knows what flights. That was the whole point. We wanted the bad guys not to know who the sky. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say, you want that school teacher to have a gun? I don't know. You want the guy sitting next to you on a goddamn airplane to have a gun? Like, that seems pretty bad, too. Mm-hmm. Like, an airplane seems like not a great place for a gun. You got to look it up. I don't know. These guys must have been packing, or I thought they were packing.
I think our marshals have firearms.
Yeah.
They did. Okay. Anyway. They did.
So, if you said to me, would you like this guy at this school with a gun, Mr. Gage, a metal shop teacher, I would say, as long as we've signed off as a society as putting a guy in an airplane with a gun, then I'll say the guy can sit in shop class with a gun and a lockbox, number one. Now, you can go, well, this guy is a sky marshal. And my answer is, yeah, I'm not saying stop teaching. I'm saying military background, ex-law enforcement, or what have you, put you through a rigorous whatever, just like they put the sky marshals through, I'm imagining, not as rigorous. And we'll work it out. We'll have a whole bunch of checks and balances built in. The school design, parents, you know, obviously law enforcement and everything, when they make 5 trips to the house at something at some point or 30 trips to the house or whatever it was in Florida, you're going to have to do something. Everyone's going to have to up their game.
Right.
When you just sit around and go, legislation, something's got to be done. I don't know what piece of legislation could stop anybody. And I do know that if you're advertising yourself as a gun-free zone, if you're advertising yourself as a soft target, you are literally, you're putting a target. You are a soft target. You're advertising. That, what they want is the longest period of time from the time they fire their first shot to the time that someone fires their first shot at them, the longest period of time is the best scenario for them. The guy who was on that island in like the Netherlands or something, remember the guy? There's a guy who killed like 68 little kids.
Yeah. This is like 5 years ago, right? 4 or 5 years ago?
Maybe more. Mm. But this guy's now living in a place that's as nice as any IKEA layout you've seen when you go through that key and you go, oh, look at the kitchen. Oh, look at the living room. Oh, that's nice little sectional there.
Yes?
Yes. Oh. They put this guy – you got to find out the story. I mean, this is how progressive the Norwegian folks are. But
in Norway, yeah.
He got onto an island with kids, and he's the only one with a gun.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the ultimate school – this is a school that's completely guns-free zone, and it's an island, and there's nothing else anyone can do about it.
2011, 85 killed in island youth camp. Yeah. So they're literally just an island of kids at camp.
85 killed. You got to see this guy's accommodations.
That's crazy.
And by the way, I think he's due to get out pretty soon. He's done long enough.
They're very forgiving.
He's put up. He's doing he's a lot nicer than I grew up as far as his pad goes. But... okay, the ultimate gun-free zone is this kid's summer camp island. So I don't know if he got bored or he ran.
That's a million times nicer than your utility porch.
It's nicer than most people's college dorms.
Yeah.
This guy's living in a pretty sweet
nice bed.
I swear to God, he's going to get out soon. He's going to get paroled.
Separate bathroom.
Yes. Dorm room. Yeah.
Okay.
College dorm.
You got to figure out how this went, Max Pata, but... did he get bored of killing kids, or did he run out of ammunition, or did his gun melt? The body count is 85. If there's a couple of guys with some training that have guns that are on campus, then the body count is 10. See how that works, LA Times? And I am guessing, I'm going to keep going with my math, if you had someone even closer who knew how to handle a gun, then maybe the body count would be 4. You see? Well, that's it.
And of course, it's still a tragedy, and it's no less tragic for those families. But to reduce the number significantly, that's no one could argue that.
Well, those are families that aren't being devastated by their
We should dying. Ask the LA Times about this 85 kids dead on the island. Would it have been helpful if a camp counselor had a gun and limited to just, say, 50 dead people? Would that be better?
For example.
Or even as they use the example, one. So one versus 85. We know one versus was Parkland was like 13, 14, something like that.
18, whatever.
Whatever it was. I think it was 14, but every once in a while they get the person shooting and then the adults and whatever.
Or someone who's been in critical for a while.
So all I'm saying is this, LA Times. One dead versus 14. What about one dead versus 85? Are you going to budge? Are we still sticking to our guns, barring the pun, where there is no difference? Right. In my world, whether it's an island, a campus, or a movie theater, I am much happier at a smaller death toll. And if I was at a movie theater and there's some guy in the back row who had a concealed carry permit and someone started, you know, the Joker started getting a little wild in there and somebody started returning at him, I'd be happy that he did that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You'd feel better in the theater.
This makes me think of this because especially since we talked to that teacher earlier, there was this big viral thing going around online after one of these shootings. And I thought it was actually kind of interesting just for teachers. You know, it was like, do you carry a gun? Do you not carry a gun? And this woman says, here's what I do. And I think they were maybe 7th or 8th graders, which is a perfect time, it seems like, to do something like this. Every day, maybe, or every Friday at the end of the day, she asks the kids to anonymously write down who they want to sit next to next week and give it to her. And then, you know, she'll make a decision if she wants them to sit together, you sit with your friend or whatever.
Sure.
But the whole point, that has nothing to do with what she's really doing. She's trying to see what kids are not on the list, who nobody wants to sit next to, who usually had a bunch of friends and this week nobody's talking to, just to kind of keep tabs on. It's kind of a brilliant, diabolical way to see who's being ousted, who's being an outlier. And if that kid is going to do something that's going to make him snap. Not Brian Bishop.
She's the first on my list.
It was an interesting, it was just, I think, an interesting way to go about that.
Yeah, also, bigger picture, young people have to get used to not getting their way all the time. You know, not having somebody go to the prom with you, not getting your way, being rejected or cut from the team or spurned or whatever it is. That was all a daily activity for the ace man.
Wow. Just add to the list.
I was a veteran spurnee by the time I'd entered the 11th grade. I got the way those tea leaves were floating.
Spilling
very early and often.
The often spurned. Adam Carolla, everybody.
Thank you very much. Great to be back at our celibate convention. Yeah.
Incel.
All right. Let's see. Who beat off in the last 20 minutes? Raise your good hand. Raise your business hand.
Your dominant hand.
Awesome. All right. It's a good dialect, like that school teacher. All right. What did you find out, Max Banner?
In Norway, so the killer, once the cops came, I think it took, they came like an hour and a half later, they just yelled, surrender or be shot, and he just surrendered right away.
I'm bored.
After an hour and a half.
He had a ton of ammo left, but yeah, just said, all right, and just surrendered.
Took him an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Was it an island?
Yes. Yeah, it was an island.
And?
Yeah. And he started it off with a bomb and then just started shooting.
Oh, God.
But it was an island.
Yeah.
And it took the cops an hour and a half.
Yeah.
All right. So LA Times, what if the cops have got there in, oh, I don't know, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Would it have made a difference? Or what difference would it make, according to them and the editorial team? All right. To me, it's a difference. That's the way I roll. All right. Let me, federal air marshals carry the following equipment. Sig Sauer. That point, pistol chamber,
357.
Yeah.
They carry pistol. All right. Yeah. Well, look, if you can carry a pistol on an airplane and sit amongst a bunch of other folks who don't have pistols, and we've decided as a society, if a person is trained and they have a handgun, would you like them on your flight? And if most people say yes, then I can do a version of that at my kid's school. Well, that's me. Okay. Let me tell you about LegalZoom. Five things business owners can count on from LegalZoom. Yeah, I'll tell you about me sitting next to that air marshal that time. Reliability. Over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their business. Experience. They've been helping all types of business owners for over 17 years. Helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready for questions, all based in the U.S., Legal advice, LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states. No surprises. Complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a satisfaction guarantee. Mark Garagus says it all the time. Go to LegalZoom. Do not use Mark unless you're Chris Brown or somebody who needs him. All the stuff we're talking about, starting a business or whatever it is, go to LegalZoom. That's LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. And don't forget to enter Adam at checkout to save even more. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
Yeah, I've told you guys, very early on when the air marshals started, I was just sitting in first class by a guy who's wearing a sport coat. Like when a gangbanger has to go in front of a judge and has to wear a sweater.
Ill-fitting.
Make me look innocent.
Hair shirt. Look, like, yeah. Just sitting there, didn't fit right. And it didn't look, he didn't look like first class to me. And it didn't look like, that jacket didn't look like one he'd ever worn before. And he was just sitting next to me. I was like, hey, what do you do? I was like, I run a business. And I'm like, what kind of business? Okay, I'm an air marshal.
The guy's like,
you got me. You didn't have I would argue that as part of my training is you have to come up with the name of a business.
Yeah, there should be a backstory.
You shouldn't be able to be made that quickly.
Art Van De Lay, imports, exports.
It's a 6-hour flight. People are going to ask follow-up questions, right. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm satisfied. Awesome. Going to sleep.
And he got to ride first class. That was nice of them.
Well, they want him up front.
Huh? Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought they were somewhere among the
hoi polloi. Oh, yeah, I guess the plan would be never to really say where they are, but in this case,
Makes sense. First class
all because closest to the cockpit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a Germany or Florida for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this.
Do it.
Sorry, one away. Sorry, Gina.
Damn it, Brian, we worked this out.
We did.
Ready?
Which godforsaken land is this fucked up story from? Let's play Germany or Florida.
All right, so a woman was arrested last week after she attacked her boyfriend for not wanting to cuddle with her. Authorities say her boyfriend told her it was too hot to cuddle. That's when she got angry and scratched him up. She also took out her rage on the furniture inside their apartment. When authorities arrived, the 31-year-old woman who smelled of alcohol denied hurting her 24-year-old boyfriend and claimed that she was the victim. But they determined it was clear that she was the aggressor and arrested her for domestic battery. She's been ordered to have no contact with the 24-year-old boyfriend.
Feels Floridian
to me. It does, yeah. Can we both go Florida? Because I feel like it's Florida.
Yeah, I tried to make it harder, but her name gives it away. Christy Misty Mudd from Florida.
Christy Misty Mudd.
Too hot to cuddle.
Christy Misty Mudd. Hey, buddy. Here's mud in your eyes. Here's a bar stool in your head. Get Christy Misty Mudd. There. Sweet cherry pie. A lot of humidity out here in Florida, you know, so it can be a little warm, and that swamp cooler is always on the fritz, so don't try to cuddle her. But do stretch out a nice sawbuck and let her pick her up with a snatch. Stage four.
Well, the Harley Davidson motorcycle Arnold Schwarzenegger rode around in Terminator 2 for auction. Mm. The bike with just 392 miles on the odometer.
Wait
is,
a minute.
What?
That's not the one he rode around on.
Oh, it's, no.
That's the T1000.
There's the cop bike.
Oh. He impersonated the cop. Arnold Schwarzenegger got the bike from the biker bar. Remember when he took the guy's keys?
Yeah.
Give me your keys.
Some of the greatest
That's the T-1000's bike.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say.
When he was riding that bike in the L.A. River and the way he would fire that AR-15 and then reload it by spinning the AR-15
amazing.
Once again and then take the AR-15. Oh, wait a minute. It was a shotgun. But when he would load it and spin it and shoot it, that was awesome.
Cock it.
Awesome stuff.
This only has minor
scratches,
dings, and dents to the front, rear fenders, and fork, all of which happened during shooting the film. Owning one of the most iconic movie vehicles of all time, not going to be cheap.
Hold
although
on a
Brian
second.
Says it's not the right bike. Yeah,
it's still just as cool.
Yeah.
Wait, is it the one Schwarzenegger rode? Because we're looking at a picture. One says police on it, which is now confusing.
I'm trying to remember the plot. I wouldn't be surprised if at one point he took the bike, but the T-1000, Robert Patrick, impersonated a cop and rode around on a cop bike. That is his bike.
Right.
No, it is. It's the one that he stole from a biker. That was the wrong bike that...
What's up with us?
Come on.
Why'd we show a different bike?
I don't know.
They both could be up for auction.
So you want to yell at Dylan or should I yell at Dylan?
I'll take care
of how about you redirect that energy into praise for me?
Praise for Brian.
Come on.
Yes.
For identifying the bike as not the bike.
That's true.
It said police on it, and he stole the biker bar's bike, which is all part of your thing. I like to think eventually I would have got there. How is it that we just have another police bike, or is that the police bike from the movie?
They must be auctioning both.
Or something.
That is the police bike from the movie, the one that the T-1000 rode, but it's not the one that Arnold rode on the in the sewer area.
Yeah,
but that was my fault for putting that up.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like this is all
now
pretty.
The follow up question is how did that?
It's all pretty doable with the computer.
Care to guess where the bidding starts?
At the real bike?
The bike that I'm actually talking about? Yeah.
You know, cars and motorcycles. What would something like this go for?
I gotta say that it's surprisingly cheap for... Now, understand, I come from a world where they go, the 1957 Ferrari, the pontoon Testarossa Ferrari that won Le Mans with Gino Vannelli at the wheel.
What?
Who? I think he sung "I Just Want to Stop."
He sure did.
Anyway, his grandfather, Arsan Minnelli.
Oh, okay. Fons
Minnelli.
That makes
right.
more sense.
Whatever. I live in a world where that thing, they think it's going to get $48 million. Right. So then when you hear about the ruby slippers or the dress worn by
Judy Garland
or the wand held by so-and-so, and it goes for $80,000, it sounds like a lot of money, but not compared to the $40 million. Newman's watch is sold for $17.8 million.
Right.
So you'd think like, if Newman's Rolex sells for $18 million all in, that's with the fees and everything. And then you hear about this, the bidding will. Well, this is a big movie. Mm-hmm. The thing's got some value in the first place. Very iconic.
$250K.
I'd say they're going to start it at something. They probably started at $100,000 and see, which doesn't mean it couldn't go. Like the watch that sold for $18 million, they would have started at $1 million and somebody just yelled out $10 million.
Well, you're both pretty close, but if we were playing Price is Right rules, Adam would have won. It's starting at $200,000.
Where's it selling?
I don't know what auction house. Let me look it up.
Icons Legends of Hollywood Auction.
Where, when is it?
Mm-hmm. Or where is it?
I show up.
I have an app that will tell you all the all the prices of all the in Monaco and stuff too.
What do you think black people think we talk about all day?
Auction apps. It's pretty interesting stuff. It's a fun app. I think it's called Hammer Price. I told them they dropped the ball. Should be Hammer Time. Mm-hmm. It just sounds better.
It's good.
And if you go hit it, you'll see what's stuff going on in Monaco and England and Pebble Beach and Arizona. There's everything. It just tell you what everything's sold for, and it's kind of fun to see what everything sold for.
I'm going to make a bold statement. Terminator 2, best sequel of all time.
Hmm.
I'm with you. Most people go,
are you
Godfather
not a Godfather
2.
Fan?
It's not as good. Godfather is not as good as Godfather 1. It's not. I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's all right. Sure. What do you got, Max Banner?
Let's see. I have it. It's June 5th through the 7th.
Mm-hmm. See what else they got. I mean, they're probably going to have some other memorabilia from the Star Wars movies and stuff like that. And if you spend $385,000 on that bike, You're never gonna lose.
Right.
I mean, you'll sell it for five in 3 years if you want.
It's in Calabasas, and a few other things here are we have a Groucho Marx tailcoat worn in A Night at the Opera.
It's weird that I brought up Groucho earlier on the show.
Charlie Chaplin's military dress from The Great Dictator.
Do they have any estimates? Sometimes they'll put estimates there. They'll go, we think it's tough with this stuff. Like with cars, they'll just go, well, it's between $400,000 and $550,000. Like they have their estimate.
Yeah, they have estimates on everything.
What's the Groucho Marx estimate?
Okay, I have to search.
You look that up.
Father's Day is coming up soon. By the way, Brian, you didn't consider Grease 2.
Oh, you're right.
With a young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Such an oversight.
Thank you.
All right. You look up some of those estimates. Should we guess on the tailcoat and guess on Charlie Chaplin? And I'll tell you guys about True Car. I got a tip for you. How about you remove all the excess weight of that car? How about you clean your windshield? I just did that this morning. I took a little road trip. I cleaned that windshield. Nice. Don't do it with Simple Green, by the way. Very hazy. Bad, big mistake. Get that glass cleaner. Here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. And it's a simpler buying experience. Whether you're going new or you're going used, you got to go with True Car. You get that deal, you lock it in, you get your certificate, and you enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers who are competing for your business as well. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. All right, let's do one more.
All right, are we going to guess?
Let's guess. All right, so first off, Charlie Chaplin, Groucho Marx.
Both iconic legends of film.
But got to go Charlie a little higher in the whatever dictator.
Great Dictator. He's doing a little Hitler type thing.
But that's not, I mean, that could be an iconic costume, but that's not his brand. Like the top coat is Groucho's brand.
Mm-hmm. I still say Charlie has a higher estimate.
Yeah.
And I say that is 80 to 100.
I was going to say 75, and I'll say 50 for the other one.
Yeah, I'll go a little lower, 65 for Charlie and 50 for Groucho.
Charlie's it starts at 30.
Oh, wow. 1,000.
And a Groucho starts at 20.
Oh, wow.
But there's no estimates. It's just here's where starting we start. Place.
Yeah. Well, it's estimated like 20. It's a $10,000 range. So let's say like 20 to 30 for Groucho, and Charlie's 30 to 40.
What was the estimate?
Wait a minute. They're giving you a range, or they're saying starting at?
I don't know. It's just a price right after the description. I don't know. I don't know auctions as well as you do, Adam. So I don't know.
Well, does it give a range, or does it just go 30 is their estimate, or they're starting?
I'm not sure.
Well, we got our starting bid on the bike, right?
Well, it's a range. I imagine it's an estimate, because otherwise it would just have one price. If it was,
and it has a range. So it's 30 to 20 to 30?
20 to 30, 30 to 40.
Okay, we'll say that. Okay. All right, so it's saying between 20 and 30 grand or 30 and 40 grand. Mm-hmm. Also depends on how many units there are. How many of those overcoats are there?
Sure.
How many of those costumes are there?
It's got to be one of a kind.
And there's some of the other things up, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the coat from Citizen Kane.
Again. Yeah.
Debbie Reynolds.
Well, she was getting rid of everything before she died.
Oh, De Niro's Vito Corleone coat from The Godfather 2. Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber? You buried the lead, son.
They buried the lead. They put that like around the end.
Sigourney Weaver's Ripley spacesuit.
But not her underwear.
Good stuff there.
Wait a minute.
That's part of the suit.
Right. Harley Davidson. Now, what
Papillon
is Steve McQueen's prisoner uniform from Papillon? Because now here's the thing.
Adam's birthday's coming up.
All things Steve McQueen are through the roof. But this isn't anything to do with cars. All things Steve McQueen, cars are through the roof. Again, his fire suit, his driving suit from the movie Le Mans, sold like 4 years ago for $1 million or 980 something, was 60 something or whatever it was. So that's $1 million is a big ticket item in this world that you're seeing about here. So the question then is, Steve McQueen and Papillon. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Who's going to borrow my spent condom?
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
So all things
those are some pretty
Steve
cool
McQueen,
items.
Really expensive, but this is the furthest away from anything cars because he's on an island in like a burlap sack and a prisoner's outfit, like turn of the century. Max Patty, you look up that.
Something tells me out of everything on that list, they had the coat from the King of Siam, from King, everything, that lightsaber is going to go the highest.
That's pretty badass.
The Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know, so get out there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/Adam. I told you guys about the Uppity screening. We'll put it on our website. Come see us. Told you about
free.
Portland and free. That's right. Moore Theater in Seattle, September 13th. That is a live podcast. And then we're going cruising after that. So check out Podcast One, the app, and check that out for your iOS and your Android. And the masterclass, all stuff at AdamCarolla.com. Max Pata, 10 seconds.
it's on that particular code, for some reason, not in the catalog.
All right. Well, put it on your list of things to do because people are going to want to know.
Yeah.
So until next time, Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan, say mahalo. Hey, I'm pretty into Savage Garden.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter and Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter, Adam Carolla. Give him a little thumbs up on Facebook. Voicemail, leave us one at 888-634-1744. Tickets for the second show and taping of Adam's first stand-up special in Portland on June 9th. Get yours now at AdamCarolla.com.